Hey, y'all, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Recap, and today on the podcast, I have my new rock and roll friend, Dave Hawes. Thanks to our mutual booking agent, who we both love and adore, looking at you, Alex Fang at New Frontier. We chatted via Zoom because Dave was home in California before heading out on his giant multi-country tour to support his new album, which is out now. It's called Dave Hawes, and the Mermaid. We don't talk enough about Will Hoag and how he produced a few of Dave's records because time flies while we chat about Dave's journey and his incredible Sing Us Home music festival that he puts on with his brother Tim. The former leader of the beloved Philly punk rockers The Loved Ones is clearly loving this chapter of his life with his band The Mermaid. He almost makes me cry with his kind and inspirational words about placing our value in ticket sales. Head to DaveHawes.com and SingUsHomeFestival.com for more info and go listen to the new record. It rocks. Hey, y'all, this is Brie Bagwell with Only Vans. And did you know this is going to be my 13th or 14th year at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado? I can't believe it. So this is Music Fest's 40th year being a festival. That is so incredible. It's one of the best music festivals there is. There's over 50 bands. So what are you waiting for? Go to themusicfest.com. Get on that wait list. It sells out every single year almost immediately. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only person that's not experiencing the coolest music festival there is. When you book your trip to Music Fest at Steamboat, you get 6 nights of mountainside lodging, 4 days lift passes, and 1 night lift pass. And don't forget that your Music Fest exclusive live music marathon pass is included with over 200 hours of live music and more. Go to themusicfest.com and tell them Brie Bagwell sent you. The Music Fest at Steamboat, down home, up high. Come get real with us.
You're into film, you're into music, you do all these different things. And then on top of that, you do what I think is the craziest thing in the world is put on your own festival. Every time I go play a festival, I'm like, there's so much to think about. There's getting, you know, the acts and the thing, and then the people are always complaining about the, and then the bathrooms and the permits and the, it's a lot to do, but please tell us about it. Cause it looks amazing every time.
You know, looking back, if I knew how much work it was going to be for him and for Tim and I, that's my brother, I would have said, no, let's do something else. But I love it. It's turned into this wonderful, like, family reunion every year. All these friends and family get together. We sort of put our own holiday on the calendar, which is incredible. It's like a reason for people to get together.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Dave, this is my new home studio. Well, my boyfriend's home studio. No, we live in Texas.
We live in Texas. Oh, rad. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I look so much like so much fun. My home studio is overtaken by bullshit, you know, skateboards. And so
you can skateboard in your, that's a big studio.
I'm jealous. No, no. It's just where it's just a catch all for my kids. Items, my wife's items and stuff. So my studio's a wreck. So I'm jealous of your setup back there. That looks so fun.
Well, there's no kiddos running around here, so I think that might be the secret, you know. So there's some dog toys. That's about it that I have. I'm so glad that you're joining us, everybody. Dave Hawes is here, and where you're coming from? Your house. What city?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Barbara, California. Yeah, okay. I'm about to leave for some touring. Well, really, kind of all of the fall's touring starts this weekend. So I have a couple more days at home to prep, get things going. And then it's like back to school for me. Last week, my kids went back to school. And this week, it's like me going back. So,
yeah. Do you ever struggle? I mean, I just want to ask you this just because this is where I've been the last few days, which is Paul and I, we have a couple of days at home together and we're like, what do we do? We don't know what the most important thing to do is. Is it to write, to record, to, you know, maybe just run errands, maybe sleep. Like it's like sometimes it's in the music business. It's so weird because you don't know exactly what's the best use of your time.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I think that, having kids is a real organizing principle. They need me more than anybody else. So I make sure that that's the priority. And then, but, once they're in school, I have the rest of the day. I rely on Alex and, management and press stuff to sort of then coordinate the day. Like, obviously, we have our interview here. That's like a priority. And then rehearsing, I got to make sure I do that. I am certainly not writing songs at this point. If I am, it's like I'll leave myself a breadcrumb if I hear something fun or a cool idea or something weird in a book that I'm reading. I'll put that into my little idea file, but I'm not like able to focus on that when things are at this pace. So, yeah, I don't know. I think you just have to, on some level, you're triaging. Like if you've got those couple days home and you're having struggles in your marriage, or you've got a friend who needs you, or whatever, you got to go to where the most need is, I suppose. And then from there, make sure you do whatever stuff is good for mental health, sleep, exercise,
Happy hour.
hydration, happy hour, perhaps. That, I mean, I would always root for happy hour, especially now, like I've got 10 years sober, so I'm always vicariously living through other people's partying.
Well, that's great. I need to do more of that. I'm slowly learning to incorporate that as well. But your kids, your boys are twins, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're identical twins in first grade now.
That's wild. I was talking to Alex. It's my brothers are identical twins. And they're
Whoa.
older than me. And then my brother had identical twin boys, and my great aunts were identical twins. So it's kind of all over my family. And so it's fun to talk about twins with people just because the things that my brothers used to do, they used to do things like my mom would go into the store and leave us in the car, and they would switch shirts, but not places. Like, and they look so alike. So identical twins, it's a very special bond.
It's so cool. Yeah, I mean, I mean, as much as you envy your kids, I don't actually envy them, but I see that bond, and it's like nothing else in human existence that I've seen, that level of closeness and understanding what another person's going through. I've actually talked to fans that are twins. Like whenever I've had a couple instances where fans come up and they're clearly twins, and they're like, "Hey, we love your music, and we're twins, and you have twins."
Aww.
And then I go into full interview mode. Like I start to ask them all kinds of questions. And one of the questions I always ask them is like, "What's it like to try to be in a romantic relationship after having been a twin for your whole life?" Because there's no way a romantic relationship can get close. And they all kind of agree, yeah, it does have its challenges or its limits given the intimacy that they're used to having from being a twin.
That's wild because they definitely, I mean, it is science. They have their own language. They're able to speak to each other with their own language. Like, it's so crazy. And my brother hates,
Totally.
my mom had to paint his toenails when he was a baby to tell him apart.
Yeah,
There's
we
all
only
those
had a
things.
day of that. We had one night. The first night was just crazy, and they had like onesies on, those like little ribbed onesie suits they come home from the hospital in. And I drew on, like, I wrote Harrison's name on his onesie, so I had them straight that night. And then after that, we were like, we have to figure out some way to indicate these two infants, and we did. Like, we figured it out from there. But the one night, I did indeed write on his shirt in Sharpie, Harrison.
Must be done. A rock star always has a Sharpie, like no problem. But you're about to go, I was looking, you're about to go Pennsylvania this weekend. This will be out by the time you've done all this, but then and you'll have been in Canada and it looks like Germany, like I was Austria, Czech Republic, Switzerland. And how come Alex, our mutual booking agent, didn't provide you a country music opener for all those countries?
Oh my God. Well, hey, I think he's just delaying the inevitable. I think, yeah, we will do stuff. I would love to do that. This whole run is sort of just bringing out the record and letting people get used to it or fall in love with it, hopefully. And then next year we're touring with the whole band, like all over the whole world. So, I mean, I think it's a blessing and a curse, right? Like most of your income as a musician is on the road, or at least mine is. So that means there's tons of dates. There's tons of work to do. And I'm thankful to have that work. And also the big challenge is like synthesizing that with, being a dad and being married and, just being part of a community. It's hard. It's hard to keep all that up and, you feel like you're spinning a bunch of plates and none of them can really afford to smash.
Yeah, totally. And I think, the touring feels so much different than it did even 10 years ago, being like late 30s versus my early 20s, and how much it's the same for me. That's where I make my money. So people, I laugh, my PR team creates a summer tour graphic. Like, I only go on tour in the, I mean, that's just part of the billing, of course, but it's like, oh no, we're on tour all year, every year for the last 15 years. And it takes a giant toll. And I would assume drinking less helps with that, though. That's
Yeah,
contrary.
I mean, I don't recommend it. I mean, I went cold turkey sober 10 years ago. So I went from full on party animal for, decades to not. And I would say if you can temper it, try that because it's more fun to be able to go to a ball game and still have a beer. Not that I can't, I just don't and won't. But yeah, I think that the thing about touring, I mean, you just have to look at it as a gift, right? Like you have to think about it in terms of, the connectivity that you get from it with the audience and stuff like that. Those things are really rare in human existence, I think. And so I kind of get existential about it in order to sort of make it all work emotionally. 'Cause I do miss my kids. But I think, I would love at some point to go away. I mean, to your point where you talk about being on tour all the time, my friend Will Hoag, he tours quite a bit and we were talking about this and he looked at me like I was insane. I was like, man, if I could take a couple years off the road, like full on, I don't play a single show for a couple years or 5 years or something, I would love it. And he was like, what? And I just think it would be great to reset at some point. Not because I don't want to be around the people or any of that stuff. It's just, I think I'm always searching for some kind of new way of existing, and I've been so used to this perpetual motion for so long that it would be interesting to kind of like hole up. Like I think about how Taylor Swift, was off the road for so long and made all that music. And I'm
Right.
like, ooh, or Tom Waits, he rarely plays. Like there's certain instances where people I love take long periods of time away from the road, and I think that would be so fun.
I agree. We talk about taking a couple years off of the road and buying a business and, like growing a business here locally and then selling it or whatever, just so we can even not depend on touring income as much as we both have to, and just what that would look like. But I would be afraid that I wouldn't want to go back out if I took that time off. But I don't think that that's true. I think I would crave the stage and stuff. But it's so interesting to be. I mean, I feel even the constant pressure of I can't get sick. I can't, I have to stay healthy all the time. I have to keep my voice healthy. And listening to a lot of your music the last few weeks too. Your voice, you have such a rocker, rock and roll voice. I can't imagine what your vocal health even looks like and how you keep your voice in that kind of shape. But maybe that's just muscle memory at this point. I don't know.
Well, I think that's actually part of, you can get away with more as a rock singer than you can for someone who, who really can sing. You can sing. And I think that's harder to pull off every night than rock and roll, because rock and roll, like if you get raspy or tired, it sounds cooler. Bryan Adams sounds like he ate a pack of cigarettes, and he is the best sounding rock and roll voice of all time. And so I think some of that can be a gift. Like I don't, I mean, obviously if you get too tired, you can lose your voice and then you're truly in the deep end. But part of it I would say is like not being super anxious about any of it. And doing the work, preparing, being ready, sleeping, drinking water, those things are the most fundamental. And then on some level, like leaving it up to the day, leaving it up to, trying to control the things you can control and let everything else go. I don't know. At a certain point, I've heard that Snoop Dogg, for instance, like never looks at ticket counts. And
Oh
his
my
thing is like,
gosh.
yeah,
I
his
should
thing is.
try that. Because I feel like my world revolves around ticket sales. Like
Yeah, but
it's so
it
heavy.
really doesn't. Like it really, and I'll be your therapist for like the next
Okay.
30 seconds. Like
That
your
is great.
value is not related to your ticket sales. I understand that without good ticket sales, you're not able to come back or something, but you have a great agent, number one, who will figure out a way to make you money because your talent is there and people want to see your talent. And that is like a something you're gonna like navigate over time. But your self-worth is not tied to the amount of people that come out on a Wednesday night in a given city that you've never lived in. Think about it from that perspective. Like it's absurd to assume that anyone's coming, right? Like they could sit home and watch Adele on YouTube.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Everyone struggles with self-doubt and motivation in their careers, especially us artists. That's why we started the Other 22 Hours podcast. I'm Aaron Schaefer-Hase. I'm a music producer and writer, and I've spent years on the road with tons of different bands.
And I'm Michaela Ann, a singer-songwriter who's put out half a dozen records both independently and with labels and toured all over the world. So we've lived these challenges and conversations ourselves.
Each episode is an artist-to-artist conversation with different musicians, be it Grammy winners like Mary Chapin Carpenter or the Milk Carton Kids, bands like Lucius or Matty Diaz, songwriters like Lori McKenna, or even legacy artists like Rodney Crowell and Alice Gerard. Each one of them share the tools and routines they've found to stay sane, creative, and inspired while their livelihood is based on their art.
So whether you're an artist yourself or anyone with a passion for creative endeavors, these chats will leave you feeling more inspired, connected, and confident in your own creative journey.
The Other 22 Hours is available wherever you're listening to this podcast, and it's on YouTube. So go find your favorite episode today.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Like, why would they come see Dave Haas and the Mermaid? Why would they come see Dave Haas solo? Well, hopefully you're offering them something that is super unique and a perspective that they can like really delve into for an hour or two. But if it, but again, like a lot of times people just like have to get their kids ready for school or, the Lumineers are playing the same night you are or whatever. Like there's all these factors you can't control. There's like bad road work in the town that like nobody knows about. And like, oh, that club's all the way on the other end of town. And I've got soccer practice for the kid, whatever. There's so many factors. And so you can't tie your self-worth to ticket sales. Like you're gonna burn out if you think about it that way.
I love that. We're gonna have Kyle cut that up for our social media, and we're gonna play it every morning at 8 a.m. Too early to be crying. It's only 12:30 here. No, I love that. Thank you. So by the time this comes out, the new record will be out. I think we're gonna try to time it where it's kind of close.
Oh,
So it's
rad.
December 26th is the. Were you when I met you in Nashville? I met you with our mutual agent Alex Thang at New Frontier, and he introduced me to you. But you were there recording. Were you re recording this record? Do you know? I don't.
No, we recorded this record up in Vancouver, but we were
Okay.
probably working on it. At this point, I have gone into I remember being a kid and you would see Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty or some of these heroes talk about these recording sessions, and they couldn't keep them straight because there's well, was that session here or where did I record this? And I never understood that until the last couple of years where we own our own label, like we finance the whole thing ourselves, which also allows us like a lot of freedom. It's a lot of risk, but it's a lot of freedom. And nowadays, like a lot of times I don't know where I was when we were recording anything, especially when I'm in Nashville, because there's so many studios and there's a song and I just go in and cut it and then I don't know what's going to happen to that. And later it comes back up and we might either re-record it or add to it. So I'm not sure what I was doing there. Maybe writing some of the songs for the record.
Yeah, your
Our
whole band
bass.
was there, and y'all
Oh.
were right. You guys wrote a lot of that together, right? Like you're doing all of that.
We might have been just like, yeah, putting together songs for the record there and demoing them or something. Yeah, that might be right. And then we cut it in Vancouver in one fell swoop, like one specific. Yeah. That was in January. We cut it. And we actually cut like twice as much material as is on the record. Like I think we cut like 21 or 22 songs. So, we were there. I would guess we were like demoing and writing.
That's awesome. And Look Alive just came out. And so that's the one I got to listen to because Alex sent me a SoundCloud link to your new record. And it has been the saga. I can't log into my SoundCloud. So I actually didn't get to hear it early.
Oh no.
I know. But so I was going to bug him today but I didn't want to be the person that's like, hey, I'm 97 years old. Can you download them, send me them as MP3s? But I guess I
No,
can
that's the
pre-order it
story
like
of my
everyone
life. All
else.
my friends that do this work are my age or older, you know, and they're in these famous bands and all that stuff. And I send it to them and they go like, SoundCloud, dude, can you just send me downloadable links? Like, yeah. So you're not alone. You're not
I
alone.
feel so embarrassed because I even have my password wrong.
Yeah.
It's a two-factor issue. I talked to the chat bot and then I gave up because
Right. You got better things to do.
I got better things to do. But that's so exciting. That'll be out. And there's how many tracks are coming out on that?
10. Yeah, that's 10
Okay.
songs, September 26th. Wherever you get music, it's there, I think. I mean, I guess it's on Tidal. I don't know. I would presume.
It goes to Deezer. It goes, I don't know, my distributor. It's so funny. They'll have, my little statements. I'm like, what are all these music stores that I've never heard of in my life? But I guess that's why we pay them the big bucks is to put them on there.
Yeah. People get their music all kinds of ways and places. So I think it'll be all those places September 26th if
Yay.
God willing and the creek don't rise.
Well, Look Alive sounds so great. It looks like, I mean, it sounds like it belongs on a movie. A lot of your music sounds very like it could be major sync stuff. I think it's so cool sounding. Have you had a lot of that or
Yeah, we've had a good amount. We've been in a couple different shows, movies I don't know that we've ever been in. I'm not sure how the politics of that were. Oh, actually, I remember a scenario where we were gonna get a sync in the end credits of a movie. Oh man, I can't remember. I'm supposed to not like this one actress because she got involved and was like, no, my friend's song's got to go in place. Who's Dave Haas?
Oh
I can't
no.
remember. It was like Jennifer Aniston or Drew Barrymore or something. I can't remember who it was. But I remember like it was a huge payday and it was like a huge opportunity. And it was like, no, the lead actress wants her friend's band in or something. I can't remember. There's been situations like that that have come up, but you just kind of got to move on, like file them away and go. We were close. But yeah, we've had a bunch of syncs in TV shows and stuff. And I was like a film major for the first two semesters I was in college. So I'm very into, film and all that jazz. So maybe there's some cinematic aspect of my music that sort of sneaks in there. But I appreciate you saying that because obviously with twins in California, I could use syncs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, exactly. Maybe I'll become a famous actress and I can get you in the end credits of it.
Yeah,
You never
or a
know.
famous, or even a famous, what are they called? Musical or music supervisor, right? That's who holds the key to your fate when it comes
I
to
know.
syncs.
And that's the person that I want to sit by on an airplane one time and just chat with them. Like, and then they are like, that girl was so fun. We had Bloody Marys. And at the end, she's like, what do you do? And then I've had the same thing for a long time. So I'm manifesting that. But I do want to go ahead and talk about your festival too, because I don't want to run out of time. Because
Yes.
you're into film, you're into your music, you do all these different things. And then on top of that, you do what I think is the craziest thing in the world is put on your own festival. Every time I go play a festival, I'm like, there's so much to think about. There's getting, the acts and the thing, and then the people are always complaining about the, and then the bathrooms and the
Yes.
permits and the, it's a lot to do, but please tell us about it because I, it looks amazing every time.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of came about. That was Alex sort of manifesting and pushing me along. Maybe we did it a bit too early, frankly, because, looking back, if I knew how much work it was going to be for him and for Tim and I, that's my brother, I would have said, no, let's do something else. But I love it. It's turned into this wonderful, like, family reunion every year. All these friends and family get together. We sort of put our own holiday on the calendar, which is incredible. It's like a reason for people to get together. We headlined like the marquee club in Philly, and we had this great show on a Saturday night, and I went to make the deposit for the what we got paid, and I called Alex and I was like, is this right? It seems low. It seems like what we got paid when we played the next smaller club down. And he was like, welcome to the next rung of the music industry where the show's bigger and you get paid the same. But you did great on merch. He sort of patted me on the head with that. Old, I was like, okay. And he was like, this is why I think we should build something larger than just playing in clubs in Philly. You have a family there, you have a network there. What if we did something a little bit wilder than just try to line up a great Saturday night 2 years from now? And I was like, okay, what does that look like? And we started to bounce ideas back and forth and decided on Manayunk, which is where Tim and I, we were raised in that area. And there's a really cool space that our friends at Main Street Music like hipped us to. That's like this little island between the river and a canal where there's a performing arts center and space for an outdoor stage. And so little by little, we just kind of cobbled together the first year and it worked, which is miraculous looking back. I mean, there's so many reasons for it to not work, but I think it's a testament to the community and everybody who was supporting the idea and Alex's kind of hard work and his ability to like hire the right production company and all that kind of stuff. So he gets a lot of credit for it. And then I guess from my perspective, I just don't love festivals. I've played so many of them. I've played some of the like most famous ones, and they always at some point feel like a cash grab, and which is fine. Everyone's got their hustle, but I wanted ours to feel more like a fair, like a family fair where you go and everyone's having a good time. And there's not too much music, there's just enough. There's not too much food, there's like good food. You can bring kids, you can bring old people and still get rowdy. How do you like synthesize all that into one event? And I think that's kind of where Tim and I, that our specialty comes in, where we're like, look, this is going to be cool. This is going to be fun. And sometimes we get it wrong, but a lot of times I think we just make sure that we have an event that we would want to attend. And we're not making it so big that like you need Willie Nelson to headline it. We're not making it so small that it feels like, that it's kind of janky. It's like right in the middle where it's like, well, this feels like a club show, but we're outside, we're doing this together, and we're sort of punching out of our weight in terms of like who we're bringing to the town. So yeah, it's a really special event that we're going to announce our 4th year in a couple weeks here. Oh, actually, by the time this comes out, we'll have announced it.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
yeah, Sing Us Home is May 1, 2, 3 of 2026.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it's singushomefestival.com. What we've been noticing with festivals that's been really interesting too is fans continually ask us, what's your favorite festival? Because we play all these different ones. People are not just going to a festival in their town or whatever, for example. People are choosing to spend their money to fly to go to
Yeah.
something like, Brown Brothers in Idaho is an example, the Breakfast Kill is there. And they're coming from all over the world, really. It's wild because people want that, but they are always inquiring, what's your best festival experience? I think too, because you know, especially after COVID. But the older I get, like, I don't want to go to where there's 20,000 people and I have to wait 30 minutes for a bathroom and it's gross and it's like, and there's, you know,
Yeah.
and people are throwing up or whatever, you know. We don't,
No,
I don't want to do that.
you want it to feel like a good Saturday. You know, you only get 52 Saturdays or whatever it is in a year. And you want people to come out and go like, man, that was so worth my time and my money. And people are willing to buy, you know, spend money on something that's cool. And so at that point, I think like our ability to cultivate a good time comes in, and it's been wonderful. I mean, it feels so great. This past year, the third year, we had the Bouncing Souls and Frank Turner headline the Saturday and Sunday, and then we do a songwriter round on Friday night. And this year we had John Mook and AJJ, and Tim from Rise Against was in this in the writers round too. So we can combine our Nashville songwriter kind of bent with our punk rock bent and like get everybody together. And Alex has been great in so far as he'll go like make it yours. Like whatever we think is cool, other people are going to think is cool. It doesn't have to be like every other festival where like, you know, the same bands kind of headline 50 different festivals. Like we want it to feel like something you can't get anywhere. And I think that's why this past year we had, I think, 27 states and 7 countries represented there, which is
My gosh.
crazy. Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome. Well, congrats on doing something really great and staying true to the art. And that's, you know, what we kind of wish everyone would do. So go.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to well, make sure you check out the new record because this will be out by then. Check the tour schedule because we have listeners from all over the world. Like, so this is one of the only times where you're in luck. This person is probably going to be in your country if you don't live in the United States.
Yeah.
And the Nurses record, I have that on this morning. It's so good because I thought maybe originally you were re-recording, you know, some stuff from the loved ones that maybe like in a Taylor Swift, I want to own it now, but it's actually like it's so different from the first recordings. I think it's really, it just highlights the songwriting even more. I'm not sure that that was the intent, but it, you do
Yeah,
find.
that was part of the intent. I think when you play at a crazy velocity and volume in punk rock, sometimes some of the song craft can get lost. And so to showcase that a bit more on these was really fun. We did that so long ago, though. We did that. We've just been like sort of bringing those out little by little. But yeah, it was a fun thing to work on, and it's a great bridge between albums. Like, oh, here's this little offering of older songs that we reimagined. But yeah, Dave Haas and the Mermaid is the new record,
You
September
didn't pause
26th.
there. I didn't know if
What's
you,
that?
for the ellipses, I don't know if you say Dove
Oh.
Dot the Mermaid, you know, Dave Haas Dove.
No, I mean, I just wanted to be clear. I mean, I don't know that it is clear, but the clarity of this is me and the band. This is this
Right.
special group of people that I've had the honor to work with for a couple of years now. And, you know, I would share the text thread that we're on, which is really fun and funny, but people, you know, let's just give them the songs instead. You know, like our band text thread would confuse. And yeah, it was great to work together, to write together. We have a ton more music that's in the vault that at some point we'll bring out, and then already, you know, songs forming for the next thing. So, yeah, it would be a great time to jump aboard to what we're doing, because it's right now is a great, you know, it's a great group of people we're working with. So.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm so thankful I had early access that I could not access, but I feel honored to even have the link. And thanks for being on the podcast today. Hopefully someday we'll get to bug Alex to do some shows together if you're ever
I
down
would
in.
love that. Yeah,
Cool.
well, we're coming through Texas in December with the Bouncing Souls. You should come out if you're home. We're
Okay.
playing. I forget where we're playing, but it's all up online, and
Yeah.
we'll make that happen.
I guess I didn't get that far because I only got to like the Netherlands, Belgium, and UK. I was like,
Oh,
oh
that's only October. That's
my
October. Yeah.
God.
Later we come to
That's a
Texas.
giant page scroll.
Exactly.
Well,
We'll
we
get you the rest
appreciate
of the record, and I'll
it.
get you those dates, and we'll make a night of it.
Yay. Thanks, Dave. You're the
All
best.
right, see you, Bree.
Okay,
Take
bye.
care.